Okay, we'll get started. Verticillium wilt was first observed by Carpenter in 1918 in Virginia, and since he first noted it, it's been observed in all major cotton-growing countries throughout the world, and in the United States in every cotton-producing state in the Cotton Belt. Some economically important factors of why this is such a terrible disease. Infection can lead to yield loss, decrease in fiber quality, and in seed quality. And specifically why we care so much in Alabama, between the years of 1990 and 2013, a little under 50,000 bales were lost just to verticillium wilt damage. So a quick overview of the disease cycle real fast. In the presence of root exudase, the microsclerotia will germinate, hyphae will penetrate the roots, grow through the cortex, and colonize the xylem. And in the xylem, conidia will be produced and progressing upward in the plant. Some symptoms are darkening of the vascular cylinder, intravenal chlorosis, and an overall wilting of the plant. And how this disease overwinters is as microsclerotia in either plant debris or in soil. And right here, that picture is of a cotton petiole in water auger, so the disease is present throughout the plant. And right here we have a photo of microsclerotia forming in a petri dish. So some management options. There really isn't a whole lot of really solid management options that we can do to prevent this disease. Disease severity tends to increase with fertilization and irrigation, two pretty expensive inputs. So the only real way that growers have to combat this is through tolerant cultivars. However, there aren't really any truly resistant cultivars to verticillium. So they can rotate their crops to a non-host, such as a monocot, but due to equipment restrictions, that's not always an option. And there really isn't any chemical or biological control recommended for vert. So our objectives of this talk, the first objective is to evaluate different cotton cultivars commonly grown in Alabama for resistance or susceptibility to verticillium. The second objective is to assess disease severity with and without irrigation in different soil types commonly grown common throughout the state of Alabama. And our relating hypotheses. The first hypothesis is that none of the cotton varieties will perform better than our resistant Czech Fibermax 1944. And our second hypothesis is that the heavier irrigated soils will have higher disease incidence than our lighter, sandier soils. So we're going to first talk about our field trial. So we planted 18 cotton varieties on a grower's field in North Alabama. Plots were organized into 6 rows each and about 500 feet long, or the width of the field. The field was irrigated with a drip irrigation system when needed, and it was replicated 4 times for each variety. We analyzed our statistics using SAS 9.3 GLIMIX at an alpha level of 0.1. We also took disease severity ratings of the visual foliar symptoms that were present from a scale of 1 to 5. With 1 having no foliar wilting, 3 having intravenal chlorosis and necrosis of the leaves, and 5 being a completely defoliated plant. We also took petioles back from each variety to confirm the presence of verticillium on water auger in the lab. And here's kind of what we saw in the field for our rating scale. You can see here at number 1, we have a pretty healthy plant with little defoliation, and we can progress down to number 5, which is almost a completely defoliated plant. So this is kind of what we were seeing and how we were rating it in the field. We also took disease incidence. The way we did that is we counted the total number of plants in a 10-foot section. We cut each plant and noted if it had a darkened vascular cylinder, and we recorded those plants so we were able to get a percent disease incidence. We also picked the 10-foot sections of each variety to determine yields. So here we have some results for our field trial. Here's our disease severity, or our visual foliar symptoms that we were rating. On the x-axis right here, we have our cultivars, and we have our rating on the y. The cultivars highlighted in red have significantly the highest ratings compared to the other 15 cultivars. The ones in blue are Fibromax 1944 and our Stoneville 4747 had the significantly lowest ratings. So here we have disease instance results for a field trial. That's the darkened vascular cylinder we have up here. Whoop. And those cultivars highlighted in red had significantly the highest amount of disease incidence, while those in the blue are Phytogen 339, our Stoneville 4747, and our Stoneville 4946 had the lowest amount of percent verticillium. Yields kind of show the same pattern. Cultivars highlighted in our blue had the lowest yields out of all of them, and our cultivar in red had the highest yield, which is all over the place. Okay, Stoneville 4747 was the highest yielding out of our 18 cultivars. I also wanted to see if there was any correlation between percent vert or the percent darkened vascular cylinders and yield. And we got a significant correlation, or R value, which is a negative 0.49. So about half the yield loss can be accounted for by disease incidence. In summary, Stoneville 4747 was kind of like our bright and shining star this year for our cultivars in Alabama. It had consistently lower disease ratings and disease incidence compared to the other cultivars and the highest yield. Some other cultivars that performed well in terms of disease incidence or severity were Phytogen 339, Stoneville 4946, and Fibromax 1944. But unfortunately, they were kind of middle of the pack when in terms of yield. So we'll move on to our irrigation and soil trial. This was laid out as a split plot factorial design with soil type being a main factor and irrigation as our secondary factor. We had six soil types giving us 5 degrees of freedom, two irrigation types, either irrigated or non-irrigated, giving us 1 degree of freedom, and the interaction giving us a degrees of freedom of 5. This was done in Auburn at the Plant Science Research Center in our microplots in the back. Each microplot consisted of a 25-liter outdoor tree pot, so pretty huge pot, and it was an in-pot design with a brick in between to allow for air pruning. Pots were inoculated with about 10 to the 7th microsclerotia suspension, and irrigated pots were irrigated with a drip irrigation system, and all the pots were planted with a susceptible variety, our Cropland 3780 or 38. So here are the soil types that we're working with. We have our two heavy soils, our Houston clay and our Decatur silt loam up top here. And we progress downward to our finer, sandier soils, our lighter soils, our Hartzell fine sandy loam, and our Rustin very fine sandy loam. So just to give you some sort of idea of how much water each was receiving or each irrigation treatment, the line in the yellow shows the pots that were irrigated with drip irrigation, and this is in total inches of water for every month that it was ran. And the green line was our naturally irrigated pots or the rainfall it received. And you can kind of see in the picture, it might be not show up so well, but you can definitely see we got some drought stress there going, so that's good. Differences. Similarly to our field trial, we took disease severity ratings from a scale of 1 to 5. We cut the plants to see if there's any vascular discoloration, and we also took plant fresh weights, plant heights, and yields were taken. Statistics were analyzed using SAS 9.3, and data was analyzed by GLIMIX at an alpha level of 0.1. So this is a picture taken with our new toy, a drone we have, but it's a great picture because it shows you the layout. We have our 5 replications, and red lines indicate lack of irrigation, so dry land, and then the blue lines indicate irrigated pots. And you can definitely see some differences. The irrigated pots are larger and more chlorotic than the non-irrigated pots. So here are some results. This is just looking at watering as a factor with no other factors into it, and we're looking at percent verticillium, or the percent vascular discoloration. You can definitely see that irrigation was increased disease much more than the the non-irrigated pots, significantly higher. This is just looking at soil as a factor by itself, same percent vert or vascular discoloration. You can see our heavier soils, our Houston clay and our Decatur silt loam, supported more disease than our lighter sandier soils, our rust and very fine sandy loam, and our hard silt fine sandy loam. Here we're looking at the interaction. It wasn't significant, but you can definitely see some trends going on. We have our six soil types. Right here we have all the irrigated soil types and all the natural or non-irrigated soil types. And you can definitely see that the heavier irrigated soils had a pretty good amount of disease present in those pots. So in summary, irrigation significantly increased disease incidence and severity compared to the non-irrigated soils. Decatur silt loam and Houston clay soil types had significantly more disease regardless of irrigation treatment. And specifically, the treatments with the most disease were irrigated Houston clays. So just a conclusion and overall, our Stoneville 4747 seems to be moderately resistant to verticillium wilt and had the highest yield, and our heavier soils and irrigated soils significantly supported more disease, which is kind of what we are seeing in the state of Alabama in terms of where disease is present. So thank you, and War Eagle, and do we have any questions?
We do have time for some questions, so.
No, there was no significance between yield, unfortunately. So. Anybody? Yes.
On your microplot, what kind of on the two other things, what's that when you're knocking on through the inoculated plants, is that right?
Yes.
So what kind of genotype of isolates are you using? Like what is DCUI or
we were using a verticillium dahliae. It was isolated from our same field where we had our same field experiments, so it's comparable to our field experiments.
Would they ever like characterize the what genotype wise or how many different kinds is based on our field?
No, but that would be an interesting thing to see. Most definitely. We have not done that yet.
So just one isolate, you take it and use it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Your thoughts on the reason that
I think it doesn't stress the disease out as much. I think it helps with the germination factor and how well it can infect the plant. I think it, that's the reason.
With that idea, why does one experiment?
Yeah, I also think, so heavier soils will retain more moisture for longer periods of time. So I think it's kind of, they work together in that fact of how well it can be infected, or infection rates can happen.
I have time for one more question.
Yes.
Soil temperatures, did you take soil temperatures?
I did not. I did not, unfortunately, but I do know that, and another reason why irrigation could affect in those heavier soils, that it might cool them down, because I know verticillium likes the cooler temperature, so it could lead to. That could be another piece of the puzzle, most definitely.
Thank you.
Thanks.